Good morning. Good to see you. Good to be here and to be a part of this service together. Thank you for taking the time out. I know we all have busy schedules, but this is an important day. Sunday morning we gather. We assemble as a family of God to worship. Much like Gary had shared with us earlier. We are here to honor our precious King and our God. This week, Sandra McMillan shared with me an article title. I haven't got a chance to read yet. Thank you all for all those who do share those with me. I do eventually get to those. And it was entitled, though, this article was, "A Life Lived Without Forgiveness Is or Becomes a Prison." Really stirred my thoughts and my imagination about what life is, about what it would be like to live as a prisoner. We know that prisons can differ a lot. Some are less difficult than others, but all are difficult. And all of them mean an end to freedoms that, but honestly, I hold dear, that I enjoy. It made me think about, what's been in the news recently with this soccer team in Thailand. And we've been praying for those young men and their coach. And thankfully, they were rescued, that they were brought out. And when you see what they had to go through, and I was wondering, the reports were that it took them 5 hours to get one child out. That's amazing, isn't it? 5 hours? But then when you see what they had to go through, and I found this chart online about what the tunnel was like and how far and how dangerous it was. One man lost his life. You know, what was it like for those young men? What would it be like to be stuck somewhere, not knowing if you would ever see light again? I'm talking about the sun, not a flashlight. There's a big difference. To feel the warmth on your skin, to in essence, be freed. Man, that would be terrible. Now, I suffer with claustrophobia, so it is doubly bad for me. I just think about what went through their minds. Did they think, well, will I live beyond this? Will we ever get out of here? Think about what their parents were thinking. Somebody brought up the point was, what if you were the parent of the child who was left behind? Now, if you're your parent of the child, the first one to come out, you're excited. My son is out. Just imagine if you were the parent of that last child. Or what about, I don't know if he was married or not, but the coach, imagine if he did have a wife and what that was like for her. Prison. To be trapped. You know, I was thinking about Joseph. We know from the book of Genesis, Joseph, a great man of God. A faithful man of God who yet, even despite his own righteousness, found himself in prison for something he did not do. What would that be like? How would you feel? I thought about Jonah, a man who was in prison for less righteous reasons. In the belly of that large fish for 3 days. Do you think Jonah ever thought, man, this is how it's going to end for me? I'm going to die in the belly of a fish. To be in a prison, to be trapped. A life lived without forgiveness becomes a prison. When we think about this idea, what does it mean to be free? Okay, so we know that to be in prison is the opposite of freedom, right? That's the opposite. To be imprisoned means I've been restricted. I've been limited. There are bounds about me that have limited my amount of freedom. What does it mean to be free? You know, in our country, of all places in the world, freedom is a value, is a lifestyle that we hold dear. Our forefathers, long time ago, decided they didn't want to be bound to England anymore. And so they fought for this idea of freedom. Think about William Wallace and Braveheart. What does he scream out as his life ends? Freedom. What does it mean to be free? In John chapter 8, Jesus talks about freedom, about being free. He says there in the text, two different times, he mentions the idea of being free, and he's talking to his disciples. And he says in verse 31 or verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, there were some Jewish individuals there that day who were a little offended by what Jesus said. And they said, "How can you talk to us about being free? We're Jews. We've never been in bondage to anyone." And Jesus answered them in verse 34, and he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." What's Jesus talking about? What kind of freedom is he offering to his disciples? What kind of freedom is he offering to us? In the passage that was read for us in Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about this idea of being a free people. We like that idea, don't we? We like the idea of being free. What are we freed from? Notice again, if you will, Romans chapter 6. Begin reading with me at verse 15. He says, "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not." Similar question to what he asked in verse 1, isn't it? "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now having been set free from sin and having become what? Slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want to explore this passage this morning for just a few minutes and ask some questions. I want to begin by asking this question. What does it mean to be free? Can we really ever be free? We talk about it. We like to think about it. Even as a child, when you were getting ready to leave home, why were you leaving home? You wanted freedom from your parents. You go out and you get a job because why? You want freedom and independence to do what you want to do. We just celebrated Independence Day. But I want to ask the question, can we ever really be free? You notice again there in verse 16, he says, don't you understand that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Can we ever really be free? What's he telling us? Notice again at verse 18, having been set free from sin, you have what? Become slaves. And then in verse 22, he says, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God. The reality is that freedom is an illusion. There is no absolute freedom. And that's what Paul's trying to get us to understand. That's what he was trying to get his first century Christian readers to understand was, you think you're free, but you never really are. None of us are truly free in an absolute way to do whatever we want to do. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew 6 and verse 24. He says, no one can what? Serve two masters. Realize the idea there is you're going to serve one of two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or riches. There the discussion is over the wealth of the world versus the righteousness of God, and that we must choose. You must decide. There's a decision that has to be made, but it's not for absolute freedom. We all serve something. Even Paul, the great apostle Paul, said about himself, he says, for now do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. What's he saying about us as Christians? We're slaves. We're servants. We're bondservants of God. And it's interesting, when you get to the Corinthian letter, and you know in the first century, slavery was a thing. In our country today, people aren't slaves. We don't have any slaves. But in the first century, and we even know in our past, we've had slaves. Slavery was a reality for them. And some Christians would even find themselves in this situation. It's interesting what Paul says to them. Verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 7, he says, for he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. Interesting turn of phrase for Paul. I'm a slave, yet I'm free. I'm free, yet I'm a slave. What's his point? Reality is we're all slaves of some sort. When you go on and a little later in the New Testament, and you read about, I'll mess his name up. But Philemon, you know, is a slave owner of, it's Odesimus. Starts with an O. Y'all can go there and look and read all about him. But this slave has run away from Philemon. And he's, along the way, he's found Paul. And in finding Paul, he's found the gospel. And in finding the gospel, he's obeyed and he's become a freed man, yet he's still a slave. This duality of life. Notice what he says in verse 15. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And so you've got this interplay of slavery, of real physical slavery, and Christianity, and how the two play together. And Paul is just trying to remind us all, you got to realize we're all slaves of something. Some of us are slaves to God. We're servants of God, and so we serve Him in righteousness. There's others among us who are servants of the flesh, and they serve the unclean things, the unholy things, but both are servants while yet being free at the same time. Go back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. You know, he asked that question, you know, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves a slave, to that one you are a slave? You know, what's he talking about? He's not talking about slavery like he is in 1 Corinthians 7 or with Philemon. He's talking about sin. And so when we talk about this idea of being free, what is it we're freed from? He says that we're freedmen. 1 Corinthians 7. We are freed people. What are we freed from? Notice Proverbs 5 and verse 22. The proverb writer writes about this same conundrum, and he says, But his own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. I went fishing this weekend, and we were out on the boat. And let me just say right at the outset, I know some people love saltwater fishing. It is not my cup of tea, especially in a little boat. You'd be out there in the sound, and those big boats come by. Whew, you feel it. But we were out there, and we were lowering the anchor down, and all I could think was, make sure you don't get your foot caught in the rope. I've heard about people being pulled over. Now, this wasn't real deep water where we were, but, you know, you get that leg trapped in that rope, you're going. Sin is a trap. It is something that will reach up and grab us and pull us under. It is a prison. It is the prison. And it is what Jesus is talking about when he talks about setting us free. What's he setting us free from? In John 8:34, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you that whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Peter wrote in his second epistle, I want to look at verse 19. He says, while they promise, he's talking about false teachers. He says, there are going to be people come in and they're going to preach to you a profane gospel. And they're going to promise liberty. But notice their own condition. They themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is he brought into bondage. For it would have been better for them to, notice verse 21, skip down just a little bit, talking about those same group of individuals. Peter goes on to say, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Why? Why is it worse? Is there a different degree of destruction that awaits them? I don't think that's what Peter's talking about. Those individuals who have become freed from sin, have become a child of God, and have known that freedom from the bondage of sin, and then to again entrap themselves into sin, man, when they get to judgment day, that's going to be an awful day for them, because they're going to know, I tasted it. I knew what it was like to be free from sin. And yet, look what I've done to myself. I've trapped myself back in it. And so it would have been better for them to never have known the truth. Because at least then they could say, I never knew. At least they'd have some excuse. But they have no excuse. He goes on at the end of that, and he compares them to a dog. And they say, those individuals are like a dog returning in a disgusting way to its own vomit. Or like a sow wallowing after it's been cleaned back in its mire. I've smelt some pigsties before. North Carolina, you have your fair share of pigs out here, don't we? Those places do not smell very good. And then in Romans 6, he ends it this way by saying, for the wages of sin is death. The real prison for those who are trapped in the bondage of sin is death. We go back to Genesis chapter 2. And we learn there that Adam and Eve, when they partook of that fruit they weren't supposed to bite into, and they bit into it, and they gained that knowledge. It says, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Sin traps us in the prison of death. Ezekiel, the prophet, wrote in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, for the soul which sins, it shall die. And then in Revelation 21:8, John writes about those who sin. Their part will be in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It is not a pretty picture. Being caught in the bonds of sin. And so we go back to this idea of, can we be free? Can we truly be free? Well, it depends on what you're talking about. No, you can never be a truly absolute free person. It's really more about what you're freed from. And so we have a choice to make. Will we choose freedom in Christ, or will we choose bondage in sin? What can set me free from my sin? We go back to Romans chapter 6. In verse 22, he says, having been set free from sin. He's reminding the Roman brethren they had been set free from sin. At the end of verse 23, he says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We go back a little earlier in verse 18. Again, he reminds them, having been set free from sin. Well, how did they do that? What set them free? What loosened the bonds of sin and death? Notice verse 16, and then in verse 17 specifically, he says, yet you have obeyed, what? From the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered or preached or taught. What was that doctrine they had been taught? What was it that they had received? Doesn't that sound very familiar to a passage you find in 1 Corinthians 15? Paul writing to a different congregation and writing about their own freedom from sin. And he writes in verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you," what? "The gospel which I preached." I declare, I preach to you the gospel. You notice he says, it is that gospel you received and in which you stand, by which you were saved or set free. If you hold fast that word which I again preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all, what? That which I also received. What? This is the same message that Paul had been preached. This is the same message that he had heard. This is the same message he had taken his stand in. This is the same message he had been saved. This is the same message he'd been set free from his own bonds. It's the same message he's delivering to them. What is that message? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What was that form of doctrine? It's the gospel. It's the gospel message that sets us free. It is Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection, which gives us hope of freeing the bonds that we've been bound in. And that's exactly what Paul says in Romans 6. You go back there and you read earlier in the chapter, and he's talking about grace and faith. And that's what people get misunderstanding. Romans is not about faith only. Remember, he's talking to a group of mixed believers. You've got Jews and you've got Gentiles. Chapter 1, he talks about, hey, you Gentiles, you're sinners. Romans chapter 2, he says, hey, you Jews, you're sinners. And he says, chapter 3, you've all sinned. You're all sinners. All of us are. And then he begins to talk about the grace of God and how that we have been saved not because of our own merit. None of us are good enough. But we've been saved by the grace of God. And then he gets to Romans 6. There's some who maybe had the idea that, hey, you know what? I'm under grace, so it doesn't matter what I do. I've got faith. I'm okay. And he says in verse 1, he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Hey, you know, the more I sin, the bigger God's grace has to get. So, hey, let's sin, and then God's going to give even more grace, and the world's going to become a more gracious place. And Paul says, certainly not. How can we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of you what? We're baptized into Christ Jesus. We're baptized into his death. Therefore, just as Christ was, therefore we were buried with him through baptism, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. What is that new life? That's a faith that is lived out by our works. That's obeying the gospel. That's the form of doctrine to which they were set free. And so this morning God sets before us a choice. A decision you've got to make. No one else can make it for you. I can't. No one else in this room can. Your parents can't. Your wife, your husband cannot. Your children cannot. Only you can make this decision. It's the same choice that Joshua set before the children of Israel as they entered the promised land. And he said in verse 15, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. You are a slave, each and every one of us. What will you serve? Will you serve God? Joshua says, you know, you have a choice. You can either serve the God or you can serve the gods of this land. And you're going to have to decide what you're going to do. You're going to have to decide what you're going to do. Whom will you serve? Will you be a friend of the world, as James says in James 4 and verse 4? Are you a friend of the world? He says that's enmity with God. You can't serve God and the world. You're going to have to make a decision. What will you decide? In Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses sets a similar decision or choice before them. And he encourages them and exhorts them. In verse 19, he says, from the perspective of God, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Let me exhort you to choose life, to choose freedom in Christ. Freedom from the bonds of sin. Because as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, that it is Christ who gives us the victory. It is Christ who is the breaker of chains. Whom will you serve? Will you allow God to set you free from the bonds of your sin today? Let me encourage you, let me exhort you. If you're not a child of God, please make that decision to obey the gospel, to be buried with Christ in baptism so that as those Romans were raised from the dead, so you might be also. Become that new person, obey the gospel, come forward confessing Jesus as Lord, repenting of your sins, and yes, you too can become a child of God today. Maybe you're a child of God who, like those teachers that Peter writes about, maybe you have again entrapped yourself in sin. Don't allow that to be the condition you find yourself in when you meet God. If we can help in any way, please come as together we stand and sing.